morning, family.
Good morning.
Oh, you're clear. Turn this on.
Ha! I'm a real boy! Obviously not. I recently heard a preacher, about a preacher who told his congregation that he needed them to read Mark chapter 17 for the following sermon the following week. When Sunday came, the preacher asked, "How many have read Mark chapter 17? About half the church raised their hand. He said, then said, "Anyone who did not raise your hand, you can leave. The rest of you guys, you're going to hear my sermon on lying today. Mark has only 16 chapters. Last week, we talked about how well God knows us and how well He knows our thoughts. He knows things before we're going to say it. How should we respond to this God who knows us inside and out? I want to encourage you today, we're going to be talking about integrity. What is integrity? Integrity simply means you do what you said you would do. It's honesty. Integrity is honesty. And we'll be talking for the next several weeks about integrity in the workplace, integrity in life, integrity in relationships. But today we're going to be talking about integrity in our speech. And you know, I don't even have to tell you why we're talking about this today. Our entire country, along with most of the world, has a problem with honesty. From politicians, you know, to corporate business, to the law, lawyers, to schoolrooms, we have a problem with keeping our word in our country. And we need to pray about that as we begin today. Why is integrity important? Well, four things, and real quickly, they make a lot of sense when you talk about it. But first of all, integrity defines to others who you really are. You know, when you think about someone, we normally think about what kind of integrity that person has. Also, integrity is important because it determines how you will react in certain situations. You know, if you're presented with a chance to commit adultery, your first thing in the mind, you're going to think, what does God want me to do here? We think about integrity. It determines what we do. Thirdly, it demonstrates your spiritual condition. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words reveal our integrity. Our words reveal who we are as people. Fourthly, a lack of integrity kills your witness for Christ. What did Jesus mean when he said, you know, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? He's saying, once you lose your influence and over people's lives, you've lost it. And you cannot get it back. Once you lose integrity in a community's mind, you've lost it. It's precious. Your integrity is precious. And ultimately, integrity pleases God. I love this passage from 1 Chronicles 29. David said, I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. If we want to be men and women of after God's own heart, we need to be men and women of integrity. God likes to test our integrity too. Today we're going to be talking about how our integrity with our words. Let's have a prayer as we begin today. Lord God, I just pray that you will help us, Lord, be men and women of integrity, not because we have to, but because we want to. We want to make you look good in our workplace, in the schoolroom, in our communities. We want to glorify you by the way we live. And I pray today that we will think about ways in our speech that we have hurt our witness for Christ. We ask, Lord, that you bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your Bible, and by the way, if you have your outline, anybody not have an outline? Make sure you have. Everybody has an outline. Okay, we all should have one. Honesty is God's policy. If you have your Bibles, be open up to Matthew chapter 5. Do you know what I appreciate about homeless people with signs like that? At least they're honest. They're honest, you know. They're doing everything. You're thinking that thing, but they're saying, okay, that's why I'm here. And, you know, some guy would come by and give him something because of that. Honesty is God's policy. Look in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 33. Jesus says, "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made.' But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is His footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one." Now, Jesus is not saying it's wrong to take an oath in the courtroom. Remember, we all take an oath. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth? So if you're you can finish the rest of it. And we say, yes, I do. He's not talking about that situation. He's talking about the people in Jesus' day that would use oaths in a deceitful way. They would say, "Oh, I swear by the temple, I'm going to pay you back, or I'm going to do this." But in their hearts, they knew they would not do anything. But they would feel like they have not lied if they had made an oath. If they've sworn by the temple, "I said to by the temple, therefore it's true." Jesus is saying, nope, that doesn't work. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Honesty, he's telling us, begins in the heart. We should not have to take an oath to prove to someone that we are telling the truth. You know, you've heard the people say, "Well, I swear to God I'm telling the truth," or "I swear on a stack of Bibles I'm telling the truth." You should not have to say that as a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? People should know us for our honesty. They should know us for the people that we are. We can say, when I think of Doyle, he is a man of integrity. He is a man of his word. He keeps his word. We look at people around us and we judge them based on whether or not they have integrity. Why do people lie? Why do they lie? Now, look at that. Diabetic funnel cakes? Are you serious? You've got to be kidding me. You already know some of these reasons, but let's just run through them very quickly. Why do people lie? First of all, a lot of people, they fear the other person's rejection. So they're going to tell you what they want you to hear instead of being honest with you. They're going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, if someone loves you, they're going to tell you the truth. And you should not be afraid to tell the truth in your life to the person that you love. Share with them how you feel about situations. People lie because they fear other people's rejection. People lie also because they want to control over the issue, you know, which shows their lack of trust to start with. This little thing says, "I'm not a control freak. I just happen to be a highly driven, focused, motivated, extraordinary, and inspiring leader. And yes, you may take time out to listen to my advice, and no, you may not do things your way." People lie because they want control over an issue. They want to control a situation. People lie also to escape responsibility. Love that picture. You've had that happen. You come upon a child, they're full of markers. "Hey, what you been doing?" "Nothing." People lie to escape responsibility. And this usually what? Leads to a lie that leads to another lie that leads to another lie. People lie also to avoid conflict. Children figure this one out pretty quickly. They lie to get out of, "Mommy and Dad are going to be upset, so I'm just going to tell a little story here," to avoid the conflict. People lie to get money. And we'll talk more about this when we get to the integrity in the workplace. But these are some of the reasons. These are not all the reasons, but these are some of them, why people lie. Now, what's wrong with lying? What's wrong with it? Well, some people would say, you know, it's because the Bible says it's wrong. That's not a good enough answer. We got a bunch of people in church today that view Christianity as keeping a set of rules, a do's and don'ts, and I don't do it because the Bible tells me so. I'm here to tell you today, that is a bad foundation to stand on. Rule-keeping without understanding why equals legalism. There ain't no relationship in that. Why does the Bible say lying is wrong? It is because it is the exact opposite of who God is. God is truth. God is just. We don't lie because it offends God. It offends Him. I don't want to hurt God. Lying is the devil's language. Jesus said, you know, you sound like the father of all lies. And he says, he reminds them in John 8:44. Satan is the father of all lies. But we don't lie, we don't steal, we don't want to sin because of who God is. I don't want to hurt Him. I love Him. He is my Father. I have a relationship with Him. I don't want to hurt Him. Ephesians 4 says, lying grieves God's Holy Spirit. It grieves Him. It grieves His Spirit. Well, how does God feel about liars? Well, we all have heard children yell Revelation 21:8. But I think this passage from Proverbs 6 is extremely powerful. Notice these words. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Notice how lying is mentioned twice here. It's mentioned twice. The Lord is definitely not pleased with a lying tongue. And of course, we've all heard Revelation 21:8, but I think it's a good warning for all of us who would persist in lying, that all liars, their place will be in the lake of burning sulfur. Why? Because it is the language of Satan. It is the language of rebellion. A busload of politicians were traveling from city to city when suddenly their bus ran off and crashed into a tree nearby an old farmer's field. The old farmer, after seeing what happened, went over to investigate. He then proceeded to dig a hole and bury the politicians. A few days later, the local sheriff came out, saw the crashed bus, and asked the old farmer where all the politicians had gone. The old farmer said that he had buried them. The sheriff asked the farmer, "Well, the coroner wasn't here. Are you sure they were all dead?" The old farmer replied, "Well, some of them said they weren't, but you know how politicians lie." Liars. Liars. The bottom line is, how do we lie in our speech? How do we lie in our speech? First of all, we may say something that we will do something and not do it. You know, I'll be there. I'll come to your small group. I'll come to your... You fill in the blank. And then they know full intentionally in their heart that they're not going to go to the place. My friends, that is lying. Why don't you just tell them, "No, I can't go this time. Thanks for the invitation. I'll come another time." Say we will do something and not do it is a form of lying in our speech. Also, we lie in our speech when we say, we'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. But we don't pray. Let me give you a piece of advice that's really been helpful to me. When somebody asks you to pray for them, stop what you're doing, no matter where it is, and say, "Let's pray." Right then and there, that person will know that you're serious about them and about what they just shared with you. We lie in our speech when we make promises we don't keep. If I had a dollar for every person that has ever told me that they're going to come to church this Sunday, man, dog, we could fund 25 missionaries easily. Let's think about the promises that we have kept and that we've promised that we will keep. Marriage, promises to our children, to be there for them at their event. Let's be people of our word. We lie in our speech when we gossip. What should we do when someone starts gossiping? Stop them before they have finished their sentence and say, and I want you to hear me out, we need to say, have you talked to so-and-so about this? Stop them mid-sentence. Even if they haven't, you need to say, I don't want to talk anymore about this. You go talk to that individual about this. We will curb gossip in our lives if we tell people those words. Listening to gossip is just as much a sin as sharing it. Sometimes we like to disguise gossip with asking our brothers and sisters to pray for, you know, so-and-so, and we immediately start sharing publicly the sin that this person has done. Scripture teaches that we should not fellowship with someone that does these kinds of things. Gossiping. That's lying. You're hurting and tarnishing that person's reputation. You're slandering them. And by the way, the old saying is, anyone who gossips to you will do what? Gossip about you too. Slander is another way we lie in our speech. We ruin people's reputations by talking bad about them in public. I want to encourage you today, if you have lied to your family, if you have lied to your boss, if you've lied to anyone, to go to that person today and make things right with them. Make things right with them. Mark Twain said, speaking honestly is better. It takes a lot of stress out of our lives. If you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. But if you don't tell the truth, you have to remember what you said. Pretty true, isn't it? I've shared with you, some of you, the story of a dear friend of mine when I was in missionary school and Abilene Christian University in Texas back in 1999 and 2000. A friend of mine there, I started to go to school there, and there was this one guy in our group that was really annoying. And I there's something about his personality that just kind of rubbed me wrong. And I just kind of went out of my way to avoid this guy. And I heard he wanted to go to Africa. We went to West Africa in 1999 for an internship. And lo and behold, it was my this guy, Calvin, his name was Calvin, to come to this, you know, he went to the West Africa with me and his wife. And I was so judgmental and critical of this guy. I'm ashamed to admit it, but there's a lot of missionaries and preachers in the world today that criticize and judge with pride other people. Well, I just had it in my mind, this guy is just not going to be a missionary, and I ain't going to work with that guy, forget it, you know, and being very judgmental and critical of him. Well, God dealt with me with this when I went to Tanzania the first time in 2000. I was at a retreat with a bunch of other missionaries, and, you know, I thought I'd seen the last of Calvin, and I was with all these other guys, and one missionary said, guess who's coming to work with us in Tanzania? Calvin. And I'm like, and immediately I started saying, guys, I don't think this is a good idea. He's not going to be a good missionary. And they stopped me mid-sentence and they said, who are you to decide what a good missionary is? You're being very judgmental, Chris. Let him come. God's called him, let him come. Guess what happened to me? 3 weeks after this meeting, I was in the bush one day and driving, and we went over this horrible pothole. I re-injured an old back injury. Well, long story short, I had to come back to the States, to Abilene, Texas, for 1 year. Very, very humiliating, very humble. God was dealing with me in a lot of ways. And one of the issues was with Calvin. And I'll never forget, in December of 2000, I was living in Abilene, Texas, and Calvin came by my house. I called him up, and I said, I got to meet with you, guy. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, so we went to Taco Bell, and I confessed my sin to him. He was shocked. I said, buddy, I've slandered your name. I've said bad things about you, and I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And I'll never forget that when we drove back, he forgave me, and everything was fine with our friendship, and he went back to the house where I was staying, and I remember him driving away on his way to Tanzania. And here I was in Abilene, Texas. Greatly humbled. Well, I went back to Tanzania in January of 2002, and I began to work with Calvin. And guess what I discovered? He's a great missionary. Fantastic. He not only became my best friend, but he married my wife and I in Tanzania. And he became my neighbor. I lived next door to this guy. And I craved his fellowship and his friendship. And I'm here to tell you today, don't ever tell God you want to work with somebody, because guess what? Just to make sure you understand Jesus is Lord, you're going to be living next door to the guy that you didn't like. And God will teach you in it. So what? What does this have to do with us today? Quickly, three things. What are we going to take home today? That's the bottom line issue today. Three things I want you to take home today. I will be completely honest with my words. Not because the Bible says lying is wrong, but because it offends my God, who is truth. Think about the words that you use, how you say things, the promises you make. Remember, you're talking to God as well. I will let my yes be yes and my no, no. If you don't want to go to the event, say, I don't want to go to the event. If you don't feel like going out with somebody that night, say, I don't feel like going out with you tonight. Be honest. And we'll talk more about this next week. I will do what I have said I would do and keep my promises. Let's stand for prayer. I'm going to pray a prayer now. You don't have to repeat after me, okay? If you don't want to pray this, but if you feel compelled to pray, I'm going to pray a prayer and asking God to forgive us for the times that we have lied, we have said things we don't, cannot kept our promises. Let's pray together. Forgive us, Father. Let me do it again. Forgive us, Father, for the times we have not been honest with you or with others. If we are blinded by our lies, help us see the truth, Lord. If we have slandered someone, help us to go to that person and confess that sin. If we have gossiped, may we seek to repair the damage. Give us self-control over our tongues. May our words be edifying and encouraging. Help us, Lord, to let our yes be yes and our no, no. Help us do the things we have said we will do and to keep our promises. In Jesus' name, amen. If there is a need that we can help you with today, if there's prayers that we can assist you with, the shepherds are here. We'd be glad to assist you. We will love you and help you through whatever struggles you're having. Won't you come as we sing this song?
Wonderful passion and purity. May His Spirit divine all my being refine. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some word spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen
in you from the dawn of the morning to close of day, in example, in deeds, and in all you say. Lay your gifts at his feet, to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you.
Please be seated.